here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Happy Monday. I hope you had a wonderful summer weekend. And this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network and wherever you're listening from. As always, thanks so much for tuning in either live or on podcast. So today we are speaking with Satya Kalra, and we are going to find out what she is all about. She is a spiritual guide, a self-transformational coach, and an international speaker. She's also an author, and we're going to be finding out about her book, Prosperity Forever. So welcome to the show, Satya.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you for being with us. So tell us, first of all, where are you calling from?
From San Francisco, California.
Oh, wonderful. How is it there right now? Is it beautiful?
Oh, it's excellent. The temperature is in 80s today and sunny, and cannot ask for better than that.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, thank you again for joining us. So let's talk a little bit about how did you get involved? What made you become a spiritual teacher?
No, I have been spiritually, I would say, I think I was born as a spiritual person, looks like. And at a very young age, I was exposed to many saints in my life, and being in India at that time, everywhere the spirituality is around us. We can't escape. And I came to USA in 1969. Where I kind of felt disconnected because coming to the different culture in Chicago, where the weather was so cold, and language issues and cultural issues and many issues, and kind of felt disconnected. But then I got grounded again, and my spiritual grounding was always there. The connection was always there, even though I was doing other things in my life. And from very beginning, spirituality was my life. And now, after living in this world, even though I was a little bit disconnected, but every time I had any difficulty or anything, I always sit and pray. And always try to become a better and better human being, because to me, spirituality means become a better and better human being, respect others, help others, love others, share with others, forgive others, be more positive, more cheerful, more happy. And I have been doing it little by little, and until I learned the secret of how to be happy in a way where even though the things would be sometimes favorable or sometimes unfavorable, and still I do not lose the ground of my eternal happiness. And when I learned that secret, I felt that I should now share this secret to the rest of the world.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I love how your definition of spirituality, it really speaks to me. And I'm wondering, I want to also talk about Path to Anandam. But before we do that, you said that that you learned the secret. So was it something that came to you like an epiphany, or was it something that grew over time? How was what was that experience for you?
Actually, it's a combination of both. Because I was doing, about 35 years ago, or if even now 36 years ago, at one night, some golden light came on me with the symbol of Om. And it encapsulated me. And I enjoyed that light so much that every night when I went to the bed, it became my sleeping blanket. And I would contemplate on it. Anytime I had just enjoyed that light, and I would that became my divine space or divine, like, you know, in the house when you are kind of hungry, you go to the kitchen. When you are tired, you want to rest, you might have some corner where you want to just sit. Or you want to sleep and you go to your bedroom. That place was my divine place. I would always just sneak into that place and just be by myself. So that unfolded a lot of things within me. At the same time, I have been a science, I have a science background and science education, and I have been a CEO in biotechnology industry for 35 years. And I had been practicing the physiology of my body, and also I was mainly in the area of cancer because we had the company or founded the company where we were making the diagnostic products to detect the cancer. So patients can be detected well and do not get the false negative or positives, and then find out what kind of cancer they have and what kind of medication or the prognosis will be there. And so based on that, I always related the body and the physical physiology with the emotional part of the body. So in other words, I was connecting the body with the spirit. And then using my mind, because mind is in the middle of the body and the spirit or the soul, so I would use my mind, analytical mind, emotional mind, to find out where this connection is coming from and why people get sick, why do we feel anxious, and when we feel anxious, what happens to our body, how the body secretes the more toxins, and we cannot breathe properly when we are stressful, and then the body does not get enough oxygen, then it dissolves more carbon dioxide from the body, and then with that, there are a lot of toxins go in the bloodstream, and they create the negative energy and negative aura in the body. And one feels physically sick and emotionally upset and disconnected from the Supreme. And once I got that whole mechanism cleared and also found out that how my attaining all the goals in every area of my life, like as I said, I have been in this country for 43 years. And when I came, I had 1 degree. I had a master's degree in biochemistry from India. But due to the visa situation and all that, I started my very first job as $1.65.
Wow.
Minimum wages, just packaging in the factory and sweeping the floor. And I felt this is not the life to live. So I gradually set the goal to go to the as highest as I could. And I thought I achieved, and I became not only the CEO and the president, but I became the chairperson of the company. I founded and co-founded biotechnology companies. And but still, whenever I set the goal for myself, I achieved it, and I will enjoy the process and everything. But after reaching and attaining the goal, then something will come back, and I say, okay, I need something else. I want something else. And that want was always haunting me. And finally, I came to the realization that there is no end to it. I have to learn how to be self-satisfied If I am not self-satisfied after attaining all these, how could I expect others, or how other people could be satisfied in their life, like single mothers, or if they don't have enough food to eat or enough shelters, and many things are lacking in their life. And I say, here I am abundant with everything. The only thing I am lacking is the self-satisfaction. So I learned how to be self-satisfied, and that as soon as I understood that, my happiness become part of me, my DNA, my genes, and my blood. So it would always be floating in my body. And I became totally a different person, where I always live and I feel like I'm always in blissful situation. And when I say I am in blissful situation, doesn't matter the temperature comes 110 degrees or it gets cooler to the minus 40 degrees or there are difficulties in life. To me, they all become a learning lesson. And not only learning lesson, they are quizzes for me to see how grounded I am. So they are the litmus test for me. But I know I am grounded and I'm satisfied. And with that positive attitude, I know God has something here for me to learn. And I thank Divine for me. And I'm always blissful and I feel like God has blessed me with that blissfulness.
So that I have so many questions for you, Satya. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Okay, wonderful. So when you say that you're always blissful, before you said that want was always haunting you, and you found a way to become self-satisfied. So are you always self-satisfied now? Do you ever have wants anymore?
You know, before I would say it used to be like 10 a day. Now maybe 0.1 a day. Sometimes it comes that flashes, but they don't last. They disappear. Right in a split of a second. They say, no, if I could breathe. See, I have no control on my breath. I breathe automatically. And I don't have to put any effort to breathe. And when one dies it, even the person wants to breathe, cannot breathe anymore because there is no more breath left for him. So I am so fortunate that I am breathing and I am surviving, I am living. And I have no control on this breath going in and out. Divine power is controlling that. So if the divine power is doing that, why do I have to worry about such a tiny thing? Breath is the most precious thing on this earth for me. Makes me alive, makes me connected to body, mind, and spirit. So why do I have to worry about it? So worrying habit is totally disappear. Fear is gone. My resentment is totally gone because I think I learned how to forgive people during that process. And because nothing happens without any divine play. So whatever is something happens, or if I have hurt somebody or somebody has hurt me, there was some lesson to learn. So my focus is now, what lesson is here for me to learn, rather than blaming others or blaming myself and or feeling guilty or claiming, oh, I am the one who is doing everything. No, there is a divine power which is having this whole divine play going around. So I just have to witness this and play my role very well in this whole universal drama.
Thank you, Satya. When you ask what lesson is here for me to learn, it's interesting because that's actually something that I'm going through right now. I try to practice. I feel like we as humans, and perhaps because you've been practicing this much longer than I have, maybe you've got it down a little bit quicker, but we have a reaction. Someone does something that bothers us in some way, and then we have an emotional reaction, and we can choose to say, what lesson is here for me to learn from it? But we have to be able to get past that emotional response to even access that question. So I'm wondering if you have any process for how did it get for you to be more instantaneous?
Well, just take a simple example. That if I'm having a discussion with somebody and someone says something which it's not that everything I'm going to like it, because it's a discussion. And sometimes discussions turn into arguments. But I try not to get into arguments. I still stay on the discussion part. In other words, I'm connecting with that person, my soul to soul with him, rather than coming from my mind, ego to ego. And sometimes other people start portraying the ego on us. And they say, okay, I am better than you. Not in that way, but the way they talk, it comes clear that I am better than you, or my idea is better than you, or my knowledge is more than you, or I have more experience in this field. And they kind of portray that. And I come from a connection to soul and love, and connecting from heart, and I look at it. And of course, there might be some kind of a reaction to my system. And then I sit and I say, I start witnessing, okay, this is small Satya, how is she going to behave, or how is she going to feel or react to this particular statement the other person is making. Now, this bigger Satya, how she's going to react to it, how she's going to direct it. In other words, mind and ego are little, they're playing again this ego game, but the intellect and the spirit or the supreme are connected, they're higher than that. So I am kind of observing it and then aligning it, like having my steering wheel in my hand and kind of directing this little car of little Satya who might go a little bit off the track with this certain statements which little Satya's mind might not enjoy during that conversation.
So I'm curious. Yes, you are.
Am I making clear?
You are. But I wasn't quite sure. I didn't quite hear you. Were you saying a spear that you focus with? I didn't hear the word you used.
I basically, as I said, I witness this small Satya, how she's behaving, or how she's reacting, and how her mind is reacting to this conversation. And then the higher Satya direct this little Satya.
Okay.
In other words, somebody, we are talking and somebody says, okay, you have not made a good dinner today. You have put too much salt in it. The food does not taste good. And I have put whole hour into it, cooking and putting my heart into it. Rather than reacting to that statement, I would be looking into it, that there might be some truth. Maybe I put the salt twice, so I will be more careful next time. Or this person might have a tough day today, and this person has no other outlet to take it out. And now I am there. That's okay. Let it be that way. And I just hold my ground, and I just stay cool. I don't react to it, and I don't respond to it at that time. So I become more enduring and more learning how to be silent in those situations and more compassionate. That person must have a very hard day today. There must be something wrong with something. And many times it does happen when people express their emotions or when we get angry and upset with other people. It's not that we are upset just with that particular thing. There is a lot more is coming from inside. It's like a whole fountain of anger is there, but it's just like a glass is full. This tiny shake or tilt spill the extra water out of the glass, but it was already full. So that person might be already full with that particular emotions which is spilling on me, or I might be full with those emotions. So I have to little bit pull myself above those emotions and witness the whole drama what's happening there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Satya. And it actually brings up, I can imagine that some people listening, especially some of the women that I know, because I've actually been studying relationship effectiveness. And one of the things that's come up recently is this relationship teacher is telling women not to argue with a man. You can have a discussion, but that arguing is beneath us and we should rise above it. And you had mentioned like being silent or compassionate. And when you said, you know, maybe this person's had a bad day and I'm the only outlet for them, so let it be that way. How is that different than being a doormat and just taking it?
Doormat might not bring the issue again because we start tolerating and start getting affected emotionally. Here, when the things calm down, then bring that subject back and then just say it, look, this is what has happened or this is how the discussion was, even though I did not respond, but I want to learn more about it, where it was coming from, and I do not appreciate that for future. So when you have to say something, could you please say it this way? Or please be more aware of it, because first give a benefit of doubt to that person. You might not be aware of it, what you said or what you were saying or how you behaved. And sometimes, you know, the best thing I do, I tape it. Because sometimes person might not admit it. I tape it quietly. You know, nowadays you have a phone with you. Put the phone all the time. I just kind of tape it and I say, listen to what you said.
Ooh, that's a little sneaky. Says, I like
oh,
it.
Oh, my God, that's what I did? I say, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Next time I won't do it. So what I am saying, do not keep tolerating and becoming weaker and weaker and affecting you negatively. Because you have to become more stronger and stronger. You brought up the issue with that woman teacher. I teach the woman empowerment. And that's one of the things I teach in my woman empowerment class. Never be a doormat. God has created the woman, the most powerful, courageous person on the earth, because woman has a mind as well as a heart, to connection of both. So use your heart, your love and compassion to deal with everything. And that makes you more stronger and your goddess within you. Help to awaken your goddess within you, all the virtues which we have. Forgiving, compassionate, endurance, practice it. But do not make yourself a doormat.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Satya. It is time for a break, so we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Satya Kalra, and you can find her online at pathtoanandam.org, and I will put a link to that all on my website as well, spiritualshow.com. Again, her organization is Path to Anandam, and we'll find out more about what that is after these messages. Thank you.
Thursday, July 25th at the Electric Owl. It's the Monophonics. Come get funky and check out guests The Valuables and Johnny Grayston. Advanced tickets available at High Life, Zulu, Red Cat, and Beat Street. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless.
Spider-Man! He's melting!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power Science World for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Is your band going on tour? At Practicar, Rent a Rec, we offer budget-minded individuals the opportunity to think economy with reliability, thrifty pricing, and value for your dollar. All you need is to be 19 or older and have a valid driver's license. To get your band and gear on the road today, go to azureautogallery.ca or call 604-232-9873. That's 604-232-9873.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca. Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with me today. And we are speaking with Satya Kalra. And she actually, her publicist contacted me, and I just sort of agreed to have her on the show because I've been sort of lately, the way I've been booking, I usually book a couple of months in advance. And what I've found is that sometimes when interviews come up, then there's no space. So I've been trying to leave space and just sort of allow it to flow a little bit more and kind of see what comes my way and what I resonate with. And because I didn't have a guest this week, I just sort of was like, okay, let's just see how it goes and we'll have Satya on the show. And I'm actually really enjoying it because Satya, I'm just loving this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show. And so let's talk about Path to Anandam now, because you're leading this organization. What is it all about?
As I said, Anandam means eternal happiness, blissful state. And Path to Anandam means the way to blissful state. So I teach and we teach in Path to Anandam how to be happy. And not just how to be happy, you know, just with going for shopping and we get happiness. And just not that temporary happiness. When my stocks go up, I'm happy. When the weather is good, I'm happy. Not like that. Happiness, which nobody else can take you away from you. It's just like when there is a rain, and if you have an umbrella and the raincoat, then some drops might come on us, and we might get a little bit wet here and there, and maybe our shoes get wet. However, most of the part, we are dry. So when the things happen in life, we are still grounded. We are still blissfulness. Maybe for a little flash might come that unhappiness or something because something happens in life. But that becomes a learning lesson and not as a cause of my anxiety or stress or unhappiness. So Path to Ananda means how to be happy, how to feel blissfulness, and how to enjoy your life to the fullest. And still connect your body, mind, and spirit and feel liberated, or you can call it nirvana or call it moksha, or oneness, or connection heart to heart, whatever you want to name it, doesn't matter the vocabulary, but that's what Path to Anandam does.
Beautiful. So how do people connect and get your teachings then through the Path to Anandam?
I teach quite a bit in the international conferences or the conferences and the workshops. And I have also written many books. So I also get booked for the speaking engagements. I do one-to-one coaching quite a bit, mainly to the CEOs and the high-level managers. And now we will also very soon, we will be doing the online coaching as well in a month or so. And they can contact me directly through my email, satya@patuanandam.org. And also we support a lot of causes. Like right now, as my book, Prosperity Forever, which you mentioned in the beginning, we just did the special promo last week, and yesterday was the last day. And all the funds or the proceeds go to the causes. And right now our cause is the flood disaster relief in India, which I don't know you know it or not, but it was happened on June 16th. It lasted for 3 weeks, and it's still almost more than 70,000 people got displaced. 20,000 lost their lives. Another 20,000 are still missing. And if they are missing until now, most likely they have lost their lives also. And 30,000 people got displaced and became homeless. So we are collecting the funds for that through the promoting the book and through donations and all that. But so while doing that, that book became the bestseller 4 days ago on Amazon.com.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I am curious about your book, Prosperity Forever. So would you like to talk more about Path to Anandam, or would you prefer to talk about the book?
Well, they both are linked with each other, because Prosperity Forever is, again, how we feel the prosperous and abundant in our life. But here is a little bit more than that, because nowadays, if you think about the abundance and prosperity, people talk quite a bit about the law of attraction, which we all are aware of, it especially in the spiritual world, which is a wonderful thing to me. But I think it has a lot more than that, just the law of attraction. To me, law of attraction is like, that's my mantra. Okay, I'm abundant, I'm prosperous, I'm this, which is fine. And it creates a positive attitude and takes negativity out of the system, which opens up our system to draw and absorb more abundance from the universe. So we align ourselves. However, we have to work for it. Just repeating the mantra that I'm abundant and I am prosperous will not bring the prosperity to me. It might align me, but I have to work for it. So that's why this book says Prosperity Forever through Art of Work. So how we have to work, that is the key. In other words, working righteously, knowing what to do, what not to do, how to do it. So that is I call it a toolbox, which has actually 30 days. It's a 30 days guide, or 1 point a day to practice. And it's a pocketbook where one can put it in the purse. And one can practice 1 point a day and go through that spiritual journey. And it's not only take you to the prosperity, because the prosperity has a connotation, means more with the money. Here is a lot more than prosperity. It is abundance. When you feel prosperous, abundance, healthy, wealthy, fulfillment in your life, fully content in your life, that's what the prosperity is. And that prosperity comes to you by doing the action correctly or working righteously. With every action you do has compassion in it. You don't do it because you have to do it. I don't have to go to work because I have to. No, I go to work because I contribute to whatever I do in my job or in my company, and it makes a difference in people's lives. Like when I went to work for the company, I never felt that I was working, going to work but I felt I was going to make some better products. So the cancer patients are detected, and once they are detected correctly, then they can get a proper and correct treatment. So it eventually makes their life a lot more less painful, and also they can heal through proper medication and proper care.
Okay.
So we have to put our divinity or love and compassion, whatever we do. And I call it, that's my individual dharma, to contribute to the society and make this world a better place. Whatever I am doing, if I'm doing the cancer area, fine. If I'm an engineer, I should be, and I'm building the bridges, I should build the bridge in such a way, or contribute in such a way, so that bridge never falls and people do not get into accidents and lose their lives. So I give 100% of my know-how, my intellect, my heart into my job, rather than looking for what is for me, how much my paycheck is going to be, and how much raise I'm going to get by doing good job. Of course, if I'm doing a good job, I will get those things. But my focus should be, how am I going to make a difference in the universe and make this world a better place? So every time I do something, I think for the global interest, not just my personal interest.
Okay, can I stop you for a second, Satya? Because that brings up a question for me. So what if there's someone listening right now who's in a job where they've had the attitude of, I need to work to survive, right? And so they've taken a job that they don't feel contributes to the world. Maybe it's even a job that does damage to people's lives or manipulates people or whatever. What are there some steps or some thought processes for a person in that kind of situation?
Two ways to think. If they have no other, first of all, I will look at it. Do they have any other skills or other choices? Once they realize that they're in the wrong place, they can learn the new skills. New skills nowadays are not difficult to learn. They can make a goal. Okay, this job where I am in, maybe I just do it for 3 months or 6 months or 1 month, whatever minimum time, because I have to bring bread and butter all for my family. Fine. But at the same time, they should plan and develop their skill to move on to the job what they like. Any time we do whatever we really like, or I am made for, or what are my innate qualities are, I can perform a lot better. If I have extroverted personality, I should be working more on the PR area, or more where I'm connected with people, or where I am exposed to the customer service or sales, or nursing area, or become a doctor, whatever, where I'm connected more to the people. But if I have an introverted personality, I should be working more with the numbers or accounting, or where I don't have to deal with the people, because that will bring extra stress on me. So whatever my innate qualities are, one should be working in that area, because that gives more relaxation and more enjoyment to the work, rather than creating the stress on it. So when people are in that situation, they have a choice to move on to different jobs now. But they have to be aware of it. That's why the awareness is the key. And that's the number one thing in the book. Be aware of yourself. Why are you doing this thing? What is this job is bringing to you? Is this job bringing more extra stress on you, making you happy, creating more guilt on you, or giving you satisfaction? Or you are just working to get a name and fame and money, and destroying other people's lives, or disturbing the nature or hurting the nature. Anything we do in that nature, that is not a righteous work. I call it adharma. We call it adharma in Sanskrit, but that's an unrighteousness work. And unrighteousness will bring disharmony in the nature. And then we see the tsunamis, and we see the tornadoes, and all these, what we are doing to the nature, those is the effect of we see it over and over. So we have to, one as a one individual, has to go deeper into their own heart and see what they are doing and how they are contributing, because God has sent us on this earth, and the purpose of the universal law, or I say universal mind or divine law, the divine dharma, is to make this place a more abundant, more happy, so that people can enjoy the life, and not people can enjoy our children, our new upcoming generations enjoy this world. And we should not pollute our world, this universe. And also, first we have to start cleansing our subconscious mind, our mind, and purify it so we become more loving and compassionate and contributed to the society.
Thank you, Satya.
I hope that answers your question.
I hope so. I don't have that problem with my work, but I know that I've felt that in the past, and I can imagine that a lot of people feel like they're just going through the motions just to earn a paycheck, and there's really no other purpose in their work. And so I'm glad that you were able to address that.
As I mentioned you, that my first job was $1.65, sweeping the floor and doing the packaging in the factory. And I made that decision. This is not the way I'm going to live my life or lead my life. So what I did, I went to a school. I went to learn more English. I got another degree in biochemistry. I blended more into American system. And gradually, I uplifted myself through one job to another job to another job. And educated myself, but my goal was I want to have that job where I can really make a difference in people's lives. So it took me many years to do that. But I made sure that I am on that path. So we have to set the goal in our life that I want to make a change. That's why I use this AAA formula, aware, self-awareness, and then analysis. Where am I? Where I would like to go? Then I should do the action for correction. And I call this self-awareness, self-analysis, and then self-action for correction. And in USA, it's very easy to remember. It's a triple A. It's just like a triple A insurance. But I call this as a divine insurance or divine assurance. When we follow this triple A strategy or the philosophy, then the universe comes and helps us also. We are never alone. The whole, every atom, electron, proton from the universe get aligned with our goal and helps us to go in on that path. So I set my goal, and the goal is for the benefit of the universe. Then universe, I surrender and let go and pray to God to help me in that direction and bring those kind of people in my life who can also help me in that nature. So prayers, aligning ourselves, affirmations are very important. And also we should do some exercises or yoga or breathing exercises or pranayama, because they bring the happiness and health, proper, align our body with and connect our body with mind, and then with meditation we connect with our soul. So all these spiritual practices I talk about in this book, in 30 days book. And it's not that one has to go out of their way to practice, because sometimes people say, I don't have a time to practice this thing. We are doing the things anyhow. For example, if I am driving my car, and if I give way off my, if I let other people to walk on the street, or I give them their right of way, then, and I also, if somebody gives me right of way, I can say thank you to them. That is practicing the spirituality. And if somebody cuts me off on the freeway, I pray to God that please bless them with your divine love, and give them some calmness, because they might be stressful or they might have to hurry right now. So I kind of send them my prayers to them. So that way, instead of being mad at them, I just pray for them to bring their calmness in them.
Oh, I love that.
And that helped.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, actually, the driving analogy, because it is it does make you feel good when you say thank you and on the road and you let people in. And but if you let someone in and they don't wave at you, you've got to not take that personally, though, right?
No, because then it means my ego, my mind is craving for the thank you here. And by doing that, I am basically nullifying what I did. I did my work. I did bless them and I did pray for them and then let go and surrender and let go. I do not expect anything in return. That's another principle I talk in my book. Do your best and let go and do not expect anything back from anyone.
Thank you, Sachin. And I am... Sorry, I know another guy named Sachin, so I'm getting your names confused. It's Satya. I apologize. But now you were talking about you had your minimum wage job, and you built yourself up over many, many years, and that's a long road to where you want to go. And it's so easy when we have this goal that's like way off into the future, and sometimes we feel stuck and we feel like we're not getting anywhere. How do you find the patience when you're in that and you? It's easy to lose sight of things?
So, you know, it's a gradual process. It's a step-by-step process. And I talk about this book is a step-by-step 30 days spiritual planner. I do have a spiritual planner on the book where you do practice all these little things every day. And I don't set the big goal in the beginning. My first thing, I set it up from $65 job that I am going to change my job. I'm not going to sweep the floor anymore. So in the same company where other people are working in a better job like assembly rather than sweeping the floor, so I want to move to the next job where they start paying me $2.35 and I felt good about it. And after that, I promoted myself and I became a supervisor where they were giving me like $5. So, and then I was going to school during the in the evenings, and then I enrolled myself to the full time, but I started working in the evenings. So little by little, and I had no idea that someday I will become the CEO, I will become the chairperson. And I always said, okay, now I am in the factory job, but my background is a biotech. I want to go into the biotechnology company to work there in my own field rather than working in the assembly lines or being a supervisor in the shampoo company where I am just directing people there. So I moved from first job, which was the shampoo company in Chicago, to I moved to the university over there, University of Illinois. So I went to University of Illinois, then I got study, but I was still working. And when I worked, I got a promotion, and then when I graduated, I got the job in the same lab. So it was, and every step was so self-fulfilling and self-satisfying. To me, that was my top floor of the Jan Hancock building. But when I reached there, I said, no, there is another floor I could go. There is another floor I could go. So every time I went there, I never stopped at one place. So the message here is set a small goals. Achieve those, enjoy the process, enjoy that attainment, and then set another goal for yourself and pat yourself on your back that you achieved it. But sometimes we fail. That's okay. Maybe that's not the right path for us. So maybe I have to change my direction. But I have to align myself from the universal messages because divine has a better plan for me, and all the plans which I have planned might not succeed or I might not succeed. That's okay, because God or divine or the supreme power is helping me because I am connected, and I am not a bad person. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not cheating here. That's what I also say in my book. For the temporary gains, do not cheat. Do not condescend people. Do not abuse verbally people. Or do not, for your promotions, do not go and stab people on their backs or hurt other people's feelings or hurt, or do not be dishonest. Be honest. Be truthful to yourself and to the universe. And then universe will help us. So little things we have to go, like driving a car. First I have to get a driver's license. A written license I have to get it, and I feel very good about it. I mean, that was a situation when I was learning the driving. And then when I got the driver license, I felt so good. Then I started driving on the side roads, and I was feeling so good. And then I start driving on the freeways. And that was the biggest challenge, but I enjoyed and I finally succeeded. And then I start driving by myself, so like from San Francisco to LA, which is about 450 miles. I go by myself now. It doesn't matter. I never feel alone or never feel alone on the freeways. But I started by passing the written exam to get the driver's license and enjoy that. Mm. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. It's been such a helpful conversation. I really appreciate your time, Satya. And again, your website is pathtoanandam.org, and Anandam is spelled A-N-A-D-A-M, pathtoanandam.org. And I'll also put a link to that on my website, spiritualshow.com, and you can look on the past shows, or you can go to CITR's website as well and listen to the podcasts there. So I'm just wondering now, Satya, how would you like to wrap up the show? Is there anything that's important that you want to get across and I haven't asked about yet?
Yes, I have a little poem which I want to read.
All right.
And this is just for today. Just for today, I take full responsibility of my actions. I have faith in myself and Almighty. I give more and expect less. I forgive myself and others. I let go of all my worries. Just for today, I respect myself and others. I love myself and others. I think positive. I speak the truth. Just for today, I thank others. I enjoy myself and smile. I meditate and pray. I relax. Just for today, I am happy. I am peaceful. And I am prosperous. And I am fully satisfied. And I am thankful to God for giving me this opportunity to speak to everybody on your show. And I just want to say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Peace, Peace, Peace. Peace for my body, peace for my mind, and peace for the whole universe. May God bring peace in everybody's life and make this world a better place to live, and all the suffering souls attain the peace, and the departing souls be at the peace place, and God bring all the happiness to this universe and remove all the miseries from everybody's life and make this universal love going around, and your golden energy and your golden light should be shining in everybody's life. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And thank you again for bringing me as a guest on your show, and thank you to all the listeners who are listening to our wonderful conversation and being a part of this spiritual journey. Thank you. Mm.
Thank you so much, Satya, for the work that you do and for your time today for being on the show. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you again.
Thanks. Have a great week and take care.
And you too.
Thank you, Satya. Bye-bye. So again, that was Satya Kalra, and you can find her at pathtoanandam.org, and the name of her latest book is Prosperity Forever. She has a number of books, and the website, there's tons of information, articles, and you can find out lots more about Satya at pathtoanandam.org. Up in just a few minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific. He's sitting outside with a big smile on his face. So I'm excited to let him in here. And I'm going to close this show with some Mark Stanton Welsh. I am Marie Bernard. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I will be back next week with another fabulous show. So until then, be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
I have walked the lonesome highway, seeking safety in the night, and turned away from those who offered me shelter, while I held my longings tight. I have battled with my senses, I have fallen, I have cried, struggled back to face fears I had censored, deeply humbled by the climb. And all the while there were angels laughing that I would make it seem so hard. They would dance, they'd sing, and get my attention, they'd say, it's not meant to be this hard. Somewhere I softened, I listened. Somehow I laid some pain aside. I took a risk, I said, yes, to one moment, a bit afraid of what I'd find. But all the while there were angels laughing,
angels laughing,
that I would make it seem so hard. Yes, they would dance, they'd sing, and get my attention,
my attention.
It's not meant to be this hard. I found people who love me. Their smile reminds me I am I. And their tenderness dismantles all my resistance to reveal a light inside. Still all the while there are angels laughing that I would make it seem so hard. Yes, they do dance, they sing to get my attention, they say it's not meant to be this hard. I've been given something precious, with all I need to freely fly. A world abundant with an endless stream of playmates. So I believe, my friends, it's time to surrender to this life. I surrender to this life. Let's surrender to this life.
As far as the way I see it, I think right now, hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a crowd. I draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
On Saturday, August 3rd, the Queer Arts Festival presents Yaman Taka Sonic Titan. Come check out this experimental art and music collective from Montreal as they blend mythology, black and white television, psychedelica, and rock operatics into a sensory feast. Tickets are only $5 for youth 24 and under, courtesy of TD's Come Out for Art Youth Ticket Program, and $20 advance for adults. For more information, go to queerartsfestival.com. Sponsored by CITR. Who is that velvety voiced fellow? This is 101.9 CITR. This is The Parts Unknown Show.
Gentrification! Gentrification now begins!
Doggy daycare, not in my town. I've been wanting to say that for 45 seconds into the song. That was Mr. Ryan Peter McCormick and his band, The Collapsing Opposites. He is a man about town. He is a venue getter and keeper for now. Anything could happen. And at the Astorinos, the home base for his project Safe Amp, he is releasing, I guess it's an EP, but maybe it's a full length, called Revolution Is Now. That was a track from it. Gentrification Now Begins, Collapsing Opposites, along with Diane. And Kidnap Kids, ah! Those sweet, sweet little damsels. I remember when they were 15, just kicking it. Now they're in their 30s. And their music, I have realized, is timeless. And go see them. And there's another band that they're playing with, but I can't think of it. It's a pretty crazy out there name. And I'll figure it out and tell you. Go see them this Saturday at Astorinos. Or Sastorinos. That's what they have rebranded it. Gentrification's everywhere. My name's Chris, a Riffic, and oh my, lots of nice stuff to play for you, including this one, little bit of rock and roll. Usually leave it. I want people to delight in, you know, some subtle pop at the beginning. Sometimes I'm into that, but this is the summer, people, and these beautiful clear skies are not going to last. We always think they will. It's like, wow, finally Vancouver has smartened the heck up. The sun is out. It's going to be like this forever and ever. And it's never like that. We always think so. Maybe we never think so. I always think so. These are the Ketamines.
Something ain't me.